One of the industries hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic is agriculture. Like a lot of business owners, farmers and ranchers are struggling to come to grips with a once-in-a-lifetime collapse of their industry. Digital reporter Hannah Ray Lambert covers agriculture for COIN. She joins me to talk about the breakdown in the supply chain, why some farmers have been forced to dump their products down the drain, and what concerns them the most as summer arrives. Today is Tuesday, April 14th. This is the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the coronavirus pandemic.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a COIN 6 digital exclusive.
Hannah Ray, you've spent a lot of time covering the farming and agricultural sides of the coronavirus pandemic. What have you found?
Like everyone, farmers are worried. The pandemic has caused one problem after another, and we are right now in the beginning of harvest season, basically. So people who work in the agricultural industry are very concerned. A lot of the farmers I've talked to have said something along the lines of, we have never experienced anything like this before. It's unprecedented in their lifetimes. They don't have anything to really compare it to. They don't have a real solid game plan from past experience. This is definitely a tough time to be a farmer.
Hannah Ray, what are industry analysts like the American Farm Bureau telling you about demand?
Demand has really appeared to plummet. Obviously, you've got the schools and restaurants that are closed. Those are big customers for farmers and ranchers. And some people in the industry have mentioned that exports are down as well. One thing that I hadn't thought about, though, before is how the fact that people are driving less is actually hurting farmers, too.
How would you and I driving less hurt the farm industry?
The decrease in driving has driven down demand for ethanol, which is a corn-based biofuel, and that means less ethanol is being produced. So then ranchers that relied on grain byproducts from that production, so what's left over after the ethanol is made, they use that to feed to their animals. And now that the processing is down, they're trying to find a new source of animal feed. So it's just this huge chain reaction.
One of the things that I found really interesting about the reporting you've done is specifically about the dairy industry. We've seen headlines from around the country about milk having to be dumped out by the thousands of gallons. Yet we've also seen pictures of empty store shelves. What's the disconnect there?
So this is another one of those really complicated supply chain problems. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, those are some of the ones where we've seen videos of the milk being dumped out. Their Farm Bureau Federation says that actually grocery stores putting limits on how many gallons of milk people can buy is contributing to the problems. But there's also, you know, the supply chain issues with getting milk from the farm to the stores in the first place. And I talked with the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association executive director about that. And she really said that's just a supply chain issue.
Can you walk me through that supply chain issue?
Yes. It basically starts with the milk that comes from farms. That needs to be processed and turned into something else, either drinking milk, cheese, yogurt, dry milk powder, or whatever. I talked with Kimmy Devaney with the Dairy Farmers of Washington, and she says each processing plant normally has a very specific purpose. With demand for certain products decreasing and others increasing, those processors have to change the way they package and distribute products.
Hannah Ray, can you give me an example of what you're talking about there?
For example, they might normally make huge 50-pound bags of shredded cheese for restaurants at one processing plant. Well, now that restaurants don't need that cheese, they're trying to figure out how to change the way they process things into a way that's suited for your average grocery store customer. So they're trying to figure out how to adapt their processing plants to meet the current needs, and that takes time.
Another question that we keep hearing about the dairy supply, why don't producers just donate it? We know that food banks need food right now. So what's preventing the dairy producers from donating a lot of their product?
That's a fabulous question, because obviously when people see videos of farmers dumping out tens of thousands of gallons of milk, you see that and you're like, oh, that's milk. Like, why don't you just give it to someone who wants to drink milk? And that sounds like a great solution. But in a lot of states, including Oregon and Washington, it's illegal for farmers to donate or even sell the milk that they're producing on the farm. The milk that's on the farm has not been processed, which means it hasn't been pasteurized or homogenized. So the milk that you're seeing get dumped in other states, and experts in Oregon and Washington say they haven't heard of any farmers here having to dump milk yet. in other states, the milk that we're seeing get dumped has not been processed for human consumption yet.
So these videos that we're seeing and these stories that we're hearing of all this milk being dumped down the drain, people shouldn't be lining up to get that out of the back of a truck.
So there's a big debate over the pros and cons of raw milk, but also from a logistics standpoint, like this is milk that came straight out of the cows and farmers are often storing it in huge tankers on their property. So unless you come to their farm with a bucket to drain some of that milk into, it's not like it's in gallon containers.
In your reporting, Hannah Ray, what have you heard about the long-term concerns that farmers and ranchers have?
For farmers who grow crops, I would say labor is one of their biggest concerns. As I mentioned, we're going into harvest season right now, and a lot of the people who would normally be harvesting those crops are coming in from out of the state or even out of the country. Farmers I talk to are really worried about travel restrictions or other factors from the coronavirus response that could make it more difficult for the workers they would normally see this summer to get here in the first place. They really can't take a season off. You can't just not harvest the crops because then they'll go bad and then you've lost an entire year's worth of food. In terms of dairy farmers, milk prices are a huge concern for them. They've been dealing with kind of low milk prices for several years. They were just starting to get better and now they've plummeted again. Dairy futures, which are the prices that they can expect to be paid, are below what they would need to break even right now. They can't predict the future and it's really hard to prepare right now because so many things have already changed. They're just kind of waiting to see what will happen and adapt as best they can to try to survive this.
Hannah Ray Lambert, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Also making headlines today.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for joining me today.
A plan and a pact.
I want to share my framework for restarting public life and business in our state.
Following the announcement of a partnership Monday, three Western state governors, California's Gavin Newsom, Jay Inslee of Washington, and Kate Brown of Oregon, each elaborated on plans to work in conjunction as the coronavirus curve appears to be flattening up and down the West Coast.
I also want to add that California Governor Newsom, Washington Governor Inslee, and I will be working to coordinate our efforts. This virus doesn't recognize state boundaries. We have to work together on a plan for reopening, and we'll be talking regularly and sharing best practices and processes with our neighbors to the north and to the south.
All three of them made it clear that any moves toward a return to normalcy will be based on science and that the process will likely take longer than anyone was hoping.
This is going to move slower than any of us would want, but it is the only way to protect the health and lives.
We will have much more on what this pact means in the coming days. That does it for Tuesday, April 14th. I am Ian Costello for the COIN Podcast Network. Take care of each other, stay safe, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
The COIN 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the COIN 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.